God's gone through a series of animals and nature, and I've told you they've been from the bottom up, and God's depicting through object lessons that Job can relate to characteristics that would show Job his lack of faith by virtue of the fact of these observations are depicting faith through all nature. So we begin to see that God's creation permeates with the testimony to know Him is quite natural, but it requires faith. And Job's lack of understanding of what God's doing and questioning who God really is, his knowledge of God, is because of a lack of faith that he has. And a perfection that he has, God is working on, because Job's perfection has to do with his works outwardly. And it's an inward thing that God's focusing on. So as we get to the end of this book, we're going to see quite an expansion in Job's growth and knowledge of himself and of God. It has to go vertical, like we were just talking about. Right now, it's just horizontal. We pick it up in Job 40. So all of creation is testifying. Nothing rebels against God of the animal world or the natural world. They respond naturally by faith all the time. They just quite comfortably accept the fact that God is sovereign as their creator, and they trust him to take care of him, take care of them. This is what Job has to discover and learn. The deeper understanding of faith is more than just belief. It's a trust. It requires all the elements depicted in these animals. Now, the last two he saves, he speaks the most about. Behemoth and Leviathan. Now, we go through this. We stopped, I think, in verse number 15 with Behemoth. A whole bunch of questions God is asking Job. Questions, periods. Questions, periods. Incredible how God deals with us. Within the questions are the answers. The within our problems are the solutions. They're there. God, he joys in working in our lives, the details in our lives, so that we can discover by faith the solution to our problems are right there in front of us. If we by faith just embrace who we already know God is and trust that he's doing right, because we know he is. But we begin to doubt that because of circumstances in our life which appear to be negative. Perfect opportunities for God to say and teach us, I love you, I'm right here. And we'll see that when we get to the end of the book of Job, which James calls the end of the Lord. That's where we're heading. Last thing. The last two animals he brings into the focus are the chiefest, the king, and the chief of everything God's made. He uses them as idioms, metaphors, although they're literal, animals. He brings it into a spiritual world. And he makes a connection that Job must see. It's the influence, the blinding influence of the spiritual world, Satan being the king, being the chief, of his influence upon people who don't trust God, and the world around us, and you as an individual, forgetting God, and that everything he does is right, even though you know he does, forgetting that allows Satan grounds to blind us to what God's doing in our life. He's working in our lives to bring us closer to him. Now, that's where God's taking this, I'm telling you right now. So let's pick it up in verse 15. Here's, behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee. Now, this is the only time you find this creature in the Bible, Behemoth. Then we're quickly going to go through Behemoth in this chapter. In the next chapter is Leviathan. Behemoth means he's a plural beast. He's a composite beast. He's one of five creatures in the Bible that woe is me, we have a mythological book. because nobody alive today has ever seen Behemoth or Leviathan. So the Bible must be wrong. And what we're going to look at, I'm going to go through very quickly the five animals in the Bible that are considered to be mythological. Then I'm going to go through these two animals. We're going to see them, the zoological truth and how the Bible describes them. But most importantly, the spiritual connection that God wants you to see with these two animals. That's why he's bringing them up. But the, let's first look at, now important to recognize, when I say mythological, nothing in the Bible that God speaks about in the Bible is mythological. And people will want you to, now unfortunately, a lot of you new Bibles will change this. They're frightened by, we can't appear to be mythological when we believe in God. And because there's an animal in the Bible that no living human being has seen, we've got to change that. Instead of just simply believe. It's funny how faith is what God's teaching us. And the very words of the two animals he's driving it home with, people, because of their lack of faith, are ripping it out. It's quite ironic, just amazing to me. But the Bible never speaks about mythological animals. Metaphorical animals that have lessons to us, and if the Bible uses mythological examples, then the Bible might be mythological. Do you see that? And important to see, all five of these animals God talks about. So if these five animals that God talks about are mythological, maybe God is mythological. Do you see where this goes? Don't you realize if this verse in the Bible is wrong, maybe another verse in the Bible is wrong. Do you see how unbelief works? Next thing you know, you doubt everything. And the confidence and the strength that belongs to a believer, the boldness to know, is stripped from him because of unbelief. And so we look here, now let's look at this business about the five mythological animals. Let's go through it. Remembering that just because an animal may have a different name, can you think, here's the world of cats, the big cat. I'm going to give you a name of a cat. Tell me the same cat by a different name. Puma. Who knows the same cat, a different name?
Mountain lion.
What else? Cougar. What else?
Panther.
What else? Jaguar. Same animal, different name. See that? Behemoth is a dinosaur. See, it's just that it has a different... It's not one of the saurs, you know, the sauropods. And we're going to see that very clearly. That's what he is, a giant lizard-like animal. Amen? The fact that an animal could exist by name that is now extinct seems to baffle people. Animals are going extinct all the time. They just had the thing in the paper, that 4-foot blizzard out there. Where was it? Where 100,000 of cows or something just buried in the snow, dead. Just gone, boom, just like that, one storm. What if you only had two of them off the ark? They happen to live in a bad place. That's all it would take. Only one of them had to die. Not both of them. But anyways, here's the five animals. One of them is called, it's the unicorn. Now, the unicorn is found 9 times in the Bible. God speaks about the unicorn in the previous chapter of Job chapter 39. He speaks about him, he describes him as strong. It's called a unicorn, uni for one, universe, uni anything, it's one. It has one horn. They're not domesticatable. They're untamable. They're said to be skippers. And I gave you that verse in Isaiah 34 that would indicate, let's look at that one verse. But God speaks about them. This is why some people would teach that the second advent of Christ, when we come back on white horses, it will be those white horses will be unicorns. Isaiah 34, 6. And I don't teach that. I'm telling you why people teach that. And I wouldn't deny it. I know we're coming back on white horses. But Isaiah 34, verse 6, that's the second advent. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats. It's a great slaughter. In Bozrah, the land of Idumea. Now verse 7, and the unicorns shall come down with them. Now that's why people teach that. It's often portrayed in myths, the legend of the unicorn as a white shining horse with a spiraling horn coming out its forehead. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case. That's how it's depicted. What you have to remember is just like astrology is a tainted version of the truth, astronomy, so it is with a lot of these mythological creatures. There's a basis for them. When you find that there are cultures around the world and throughout generations past speak of these and portray them in their art and their literature, you have to give some respect to at least the possibility of there being legitimate creatures. Unicorns are clearly true, zoologically, you know, factual animals. They existed. There's somewhat of a description of them in those nine passages of Scripture. God speaks about them in Job 39. Clearly strong animals. Job knew about them. God talked about them. The other one is in Isaiah chapter 34, where we just were, staying there, because there's another creature in here. It's called the satyr. A satyr in the mythological version of them, the mythological portrayal, is a goat, man-like creature. Sort of a mutation, or a genetically a genetic breed of animal that is a combination, a genetically engineered. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm telling you that's the mythological portrayal. The Bible clearly talks about satyrs. It doesn't give a clear description of them like it does the other animals. What I'll guarantee you, it's not a mythological animal. It's Isaiah chapter 34. Every lie is a truth twisted. It's based on a truth. Isaiah chapter 34, verse number 8. It is the day of the Lord's... Oh, the same thing with the unicorns, verse 7, see? It has to do with the second advent of the Lord, of Christ. Now you see it in verse number 11, where he talks about the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl and the raven shall dwell in it. These are real creatures. And he continues. Verse 14, the wild beast of the desert shall meet with the wild beast of the island, and the satyr shall cry to his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there. See how that... there's an animal listed with all these other animals. It's not a fictional animal. It's real. We don't necessarily have to know what it is. Who believes in devils? Are they mythological because we've not seen one? Or can scientifically demonstrate? The Bible talks about them all the time. Right? Cherub, devils, angels, heaven, hell, can't prove any of it. Right? They're factual. Satyrs are true animals. Look at another place in Isaiah, the two times you find it in Isaiah, Isaiah 13. Here God is talking about him here, Isaiah 13, see it, verse 17. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against, this is God speaking. I will stir up the Medes against them. This is the Lord. And then look at it in verse number, where's the, 21. Wild beast of the desert shall lie there, the same as the other chapter, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. You don't have to know what doleful means to know it sounds negative. Humdrum. That's what it is. It's a sorrowful, mourning type of word. Doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. See that? So they're clearly, now the word literally means hairy, or associated with a he-goat. That's why some people believe it's a goat-man combination. I don't find the goat-man combination biblically. I find the word meaning hairy, sort of like Esau was hairy. But satyr, that's a biblical word. It's a true animal. Another one is a cockatrice. Look at it in Jeremiah chapter 8. Now, the mythological depiction of the cockatrice is a serpent of a serpent-tailed animal that looks like a rooster hatched from a chicken egg. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 13. I will surely consume them who speaking saith the Lord. See in verse 17, for behold, I will send. And the reason I give you that is to show you that all of these animals, God is identifying. So if they're mythological, and God's talking about them as though they're factual, maybe God's mythological. See that? That's where it goes. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed. They shall bite you. Now you see, he does it, the serpents and cockatrices, it's as though they're kind of joined together there. There's no distinction. It's as though it's a breed of snake. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 11. It's what you'll begin to see in the scripture. It's a serpent of sorts. Don't know what kind. It's in that family. Isaiah 11 verse 8. Now, what's that dog with all that wrinkly face like this?
Sharpay.
What is it called?
Sharpay.
You can see one of those dogs, and it's like, I mean, you really have to guess if that's a dog. Amen? Amen? You got all kinds. I've seen some dogs, the hairless dogs, the most ugliest dog in the world. I forget what breed that is.
Hate to bring up worldly things, but there has been movies out, Dragon Wars.
Yeah.
And
so the world is
that is a Leviathan.
Yeah, yes, it is. That's right.
Very thing.
That's right. They don't see it as being real, but
well,
it is.
It may be in Korean folklore. For real.
Yes, it is. It's in all, not just Korean, it's throughout the world. Yeah. Chinese are big on the dragons. But go back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 8. So there's a variety of different animals in any particular kind. Isaiah 11, verse 8. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. See, that's a serpent of sorts. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. See that? Look at it in Isaiah, another place, Isaiah 14, 29. It's a serpent of sorts. Well, we've never seen a cockatrice. Isaiah 14, 29. Now here, this is going to bring us to another thing too. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinia, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. In other words, it's something stopped, so don't think God's judgment is over, what he's telling them. For out of the serpent's root, that's all that's left, but it's going to sprout up again. Judgment's going to continue. More is going to happen. But I do want you to see this, that what he calls this serpent, he calls it a rod. See? Because we're going to see before this, so the devil is a tool. It's a tool of God. He uses the devil to help purify our faith. The father of unbelief. Isn't that something? Isn't that what he told Peter? Satan hath desired thee. To sift you like wheat. What's he talking about? His faith. I pray that your faith fail not. It's faith. It's a challenge to your faith. The serpent's root shall come forth. Out of the serpent shall come forth a cockatrice. And his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. See that? So you get the picture there. It's associated with the snake world, serpents. What we'll do is the last two are Behemoth and Leviathan. Leviathan is synonymous with the breed of creatures called dragons. We'll see that when we go through that. We'll get in the text of chapter 41 and get a little bit better depiction of them. The same as we continue with Behemoth. But back in Job 40, because this is Behemoth. This is the fourth supposed mythological creature of God. And what you have here is a dinosaur. Like I told you, the word dinosaur is never in the Bible. Doesn't mean dinosaurs didn't exist in the Bible. It was coined in 1841 by that scientist Richard Owens, dedicated the Natural Historical Museum of his studies in science involving dinosaurs to God, to God's glory. And since then, his plaque has been removed and replaced with Charlie Darwin, because the world of dinosaurs can't give glory to God unless you believe the Bible. Because if you believe the Bible, they were created just like every other creature. Now look at this, we begin in verse 15. Behold now Behemoth, which I made what? With thee, they existed with man. Same thing in chapter 41, verse 5, talking about Leviathan. Wilt thou play with him? See that? They exist at the same time. Now, this is what you're seeing in Genesis chapter 1. Look over there in Genesis 1. You'll see that. Now, we're going to see this description here. See, dino means terrible, and sore means lizard. Terrible lizard. Supposedly, they grow their entire lives. They don't stop growing. The older they get, they just keep... They don't grow this extra, they don't grow as quick as when they're younger, but they keep growing. Genesis chapter number 1. Which is 6... let me see. Verse number 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. They're in this group. The water animals are on the previous day. He talks about the 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the creature, moving creature that hath life. So he's got the water animals and the flying animals on this fourth day, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. So he's making them at the same time he makes man in this here, in Genesis chapter 1. So that's obvious. Now you go back to Job and you see Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Oh, some of you new Bibles and commentaries and footnotes, Behemoth isn't a... They changed the word Behemoth. Not Behemoth. The oldest and best manuscripts don't say Behemoth. That's all nonsense. Whenever you find that phrase, the oldest and best, they mean, you can put down, they mean the Vaticanus is Sinaiticus. That's what is meant by that. So if they change it, then it's got to be true. It's nonsense. Plenty of manuscript evidence that allows that word to be in there. That's why it's not in italics.
What is this again? From?
Behemoth means plural beast, multiple beast.
What is the Bible, the King James?
As far as. It's from the majority text. Yeah, it's not. The Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus are the two primary manuscripts, almost completely, the primary manuscripts for the justification of all your new Bibles. And that was duped on, in the late 1800s. That was duped on the world of Christians. And they got rid of the majority text. And all your new Bibles come from that. But Behemoth is... not an alligator. Alligators don't eat grass, by the way. They eat people. I'm scared of alligators, man. Let me see. Lo now, I made with he eateth grass as an ox. He's not an ox. He's not an alligator. He's a, people say the best possibility of this, he's a hippopotamus or an elephant. Impossible. And we'll see why. Lo now, his strength is in his loins. And his force is in the navel of his belly. You ever see some of those dinosaurs? They're huge bodies. They're huge bellies. The belly god is what he is. But anyways, when he says his force is in the navel of his belly, and he eateth grass as an ox. Now let's jump very quickly to the book of Revelation, Daniel. And let me show you the prophetic significance of this. He's going to bring you to the spiritual world, but prophetically, remember, this is a Jewish book for the tribulation. Eateth grass like an ox. Who does that in the book of Daniel?
Seven.
For how many years?
Seven.
Daniel chapter 4. Isn't that something? Daniel chapter 4. What did you say? You got that one wrong. Daniel 4. Daniel 4, 25. His force is in his belly. It'd be very difficult for me to worship somebody like, you know, Buddha. Because I just think of the belly god when I think of him. You know? Daniel 4, 25. That his force is in his belly. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times. 7 years, brother. Nebuchadnezzar. The history of Nebuchadnezzar. Missing 7 years of his life. How do we account for that? In the Bible, you know how you account for that. He went temporarily insane. We'll see that when we study the book of Daniel. But that force has to do with that. That's that God of forces. Look in Daniel 11 while you're right there. Verse 38. You know, all your Chinese, you know, kung fus and ninja warriors.
Here we go.
Yeah! They move. They key from their stomach. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Daniel 11. Verse
38.
What's that again? You gotta. It works better if you do it horizontally.
I just need to be good.
Daniel 11, 38. But in his estate shall he honor, this is Satan, counterfeiting God. In his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver. And precious God of forces. This composite beast, behemoth, is going to bring you right into the book of Revelation where it talks about the lion, the bear, and the leopard. And they give their power to who? The dragon. It's Job 40 and 41. And that's what you're reading, Revelation 12 and 13. And that's in the book of Daniel. That's the last dream in Belshazzar has in Daniel chapter 7. The lion, the bear, and the leopard. It's prophetic. It's a composite beast. This is the chief of all the things God's made. The devil counterfeits that, and because what we're seeing here is driving. He's going to bring this home to Job. Is there's a spiritual influence in the things you're experiencing in life that you're not privy to. You can't see apart from faith. We forget it all the time, and we have a Bible. So he says right here, he moveth his tail like a cedar, and the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. That's the Bible word for privates. Very, very cleanly spoken. You know what this business about his sinews of his stones are wrapped together? You look at what is that called? Steroids. So that's what the anabolic steroids. So they're coming from animal stuff. He moved his tail like a cedar. There, right there, is why you know this isn't a hippopotamus. You should laugh at. If this said hippopotamus, you know what you'd have in your Bible? A mistake. A hippopotamus doesn't have a tail like a cedar. Amen. I mean, they move slow enough as it is. Amen. They're going to walk around with a big giant cedar hanging off their rear end. The tails are like this. Or did I say elephant or hippopotamus?
Hippopotamus.
Doesn't matter. They're both the same. Either way, their tails are like this. They got cute little tails. Amen. A hippopotamus with a cedar? Are you kidding me? And don't you think hippopotamuses are cute? They say they're the most vicious animals in Africa, man. Oof, man. So he says here, he moved his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. Don't need to go any further. His bones are as strong. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. This is his skeletal system. Now, if you've ever seen the pictures they've got of the papier-mâché, you know, dinosaurs, you know, the brontosaurus, tyrannosaurus, you know, you can see their stomachs go like this. They got these long tails and these big necks, and they're looking up over everything, you know, and wanting to eat whatever they're going to eat, and whatever they want to eat. And you can see their ribs sticking out of their skin. He says his bones are a strong piece of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He's the chief of the ways of God. And the Lord is saying, you know about this animal. You've seen him. There's nothing more chief than him. This is the greatest of all the land animals. It's some sort of dinosaur. And God says, he that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Now remember, God is using these animals to demonstrate to Job a spiritual influence in his life that's blinding his eyes because of unbelief. This is why you have to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's the Apostle Paul. You know what he says about himself? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful, look at verse 14, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm what? Chief. This is the parallel. Job's going to recognize these are depicting him. The other animals are depicting faith. That's a testimony all around them. These are depicting unbelief. See? And it's bringing out his sin. And the sin of Job is going to be pride. He's self-reliant. So he says, he's chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. God can. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. Now, let me tell you something that animals do. They live to survive, but something else they do is they play. They play. You can just tell. I mean, I'm telling you right now, brother, when you're in the woods and you just shut your mouth and stop and just listen, and all the noise you hear making, brother, they're not just yapping. Amen? They're praising God, and they're moving around kind of like having fun. As long as another animal isn't hunting them. Amen? They're playing. His bone... I mean, come on. Look, you see it in National Geographic or some of these movies. Or if you got a pet animal, a dog, they come in, they just... And they want to nip at you. They just want to play. So he says here, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the... See, everything is supposed to be a good time, brother. Sin kind of messes things up. Getting saved, everything gets right again. You should be enjoying your life with God unless something's wrong with your faith. Doesn't mean you won't have hard times. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. That's like marshlands. Brother, you've got thousands upon tens of thousands of acres, jungles, in your Australia areas and your Congo areas and your rainforest. And the people there still swear that there's giant animals that they've witnessed and seen that they haven't been captured, but they've seen them. They still talk about them. Verse number 21. And the fens, is that what fens are? The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up... I'm so sorry. Let me finish this. That was rude. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. This tells you it's not an ordinary animal. This is going more than just behemoth. He drinks up a river? I mean, come on. And hasteth not. He trusted that he can draw up Jordan in his mouth. In his mouth. Not just swallowing it into his stomach, in his mouth. That's a huge animal. This is going to be more than just behemoth. This is the spiritual counterpart that he's typifying. It's Satan. This is what you're reading in Revelation chapter 12. Jump over to Revelation 12. It's exactly what he's talking about. This is behemoth and the dragon. See the behemoth in chapter 13, verse 2? The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet. It's one beast. It's a composite beast. That's what behemoth means. Prophetically, that's what it's talking about. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. There's a spiritual influence in the empires of the world. It's the last world empire. Composite. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. And then he says in verse number chapter 12, what was I? Oh, the flood. Verse 17. The dragon was... verse 16. The earth helped the woman, it's Israel, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. He tried to destroy her with water. To flood her. That's what you're reading right here. We'll see it again in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. The end of Daniel 70 week, the Bible talks about the prince that shall come and trying to destroy God's people with a flood. That's what it's talking about. He trusted that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. So it's as if you can see that same thing of piercing and the nose and stuff in the next chapter with Leviathan. And brother, I realize that cultural things change with generations, but our society is taking on a demonic adornment in style. Don't tell me it's not, because it is. The craze, not just the phase, the craze, which is short for crazy, craziness. The craze of tattoos and piercings are not they're not just dressing people up with modest adornment. You know, it's getting satanic. And I know it is. You've got tattoos that people get addicted to. I'm not saying anybody here got tattoo. Doesn't mean nothing to me. I'm not saying, you know, you're full of the devil. I'm saying that the tattoo frenzy that's permeating society right now is desensitizing, like the devil does with everything else, the mark of the beast. That's why God warns the Jews in the book of Leviticus not to mark their bodies. It doesn't mean you're full of the devil because you did it. But maybe you are, because a lot of tattoos are satanic in their character, what they're depicting. What are you depicting with a tattoo? Now, it's the same with piercings. We're going to see it in the next chapter also. He's called the piercing serpent. What's all this frenzy about piercing all over your bodies? People put hooks in themselves. They pierce all over their body. You got piercings. What are you doing that for? It takes on the form of mutilation. And that's his form of art. You're going to see it in this next chapter. It's not God's. That's why he warns people about, you know, piercings and cuttings and markings. It's satanic. That's where we're heading, brother. It's becoming like a jungle out there. Where? In civilized America. Yes, it is. Amen. Job chapter 41. Now we're going to look at this next one. Canst thou draw out Leviathan? Same thing. Now, Leviathan is found five times. So you all see how you've got that English song, Behemoth. He's a dinosaur. Behemoth is a dinosaur. A dinosaur is he. This is with the English accent. You ever notice English people sing with an American accent? You notice that? Makes me wonder if the American side is the real accent. Anyways, he says, He eateth grass as an ox. His tail's like a cedar tree. His bones are strong as bars of iron. He's chief in the ways of God. Yes, Behemoth is a dinosaur, a mighty sore of God. They got songs about dinosaurs. They also got songs about dragons. Anybody ever hear one? Puff. The magic dragon lives by the sea, right? And it's, I'm not saying that's honoring Satan, but I'm telling you, they sing songs about dragons. I'm not going over that. My voice is too bad for any of this. But canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Now, Leviathan is synonymous with dragons. You'll see that. It's five. So again, you've got an animal that existed. All of society talks about them, and cultures of society. I told you the Chinese got their 12 calendar years of animals. You know, the rats and the rabbits and the cows and the ox. They go through all of them, and the rooster, and then they got the dragon. So the other 11 are fictitious, but in the Chinese are true. But in the Chinese mind, the dragon is fictitious. No, sir. In their mind, they're all factual animals. Dragons are real creatures. The Bible speaks most about dragons when it comes to the list of mythological animals that we went over. This is what Leviathan is. Now look at it in Isaiah 27, verse number 1. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan. What does he call him? The piercing serpent. See that? Even Leviathan. That crooked serpent. So, and he shall slay the dragon. So Leviathan is a dragon. Who's a serpent? It's exactly what he's called in Revelation chapter number 12. Look at Revelation 12. He's crooked. He's red. He's reptilian-like, aquatic, and he can fly. We'll see the flying in a bit. But Revelation chapter 12. You believe in dragons yet? You ever see one? No, I don't have to. I know there's a mythological portrayal of them. I don't know to what extent that's true. To whatever extent that it agrees with the Bible, it is. Revelation 12, and see in verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads. This is where you'll get dragons. Oftentimes they're depicted with multiple heads, because they can. And 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. So you see the dragon as a physical animal, not a mythical animal. But it's something God is using as an idiom. He's using it as an illustration of the spiritual world of creatures. Specifically, the great dragon, Satan, the devil, who's a serpent. So this is what you're seeing here when you're reading Job chapter 41. And you're seeing this dragon influences the world. And he's trying to show Job, this is what has influenced you in your view of me, because your faith has been blinded with, and it's the only thing the devil can't take from you. It's your faith. He took all the other substance, but the substance of his faith. And God says, great, this is what I'm going to purge and bring out through this. And he does when it's all over. But he's showing Job something deeper here. See? He's taking him to higher ground, and he's showing him, you've been deceived. It's not me that's done this. It's the devil that's done this. I've allowed this to happen because he's the king of all the children of pride. Pride's what's coming out in these last two chapters. Back quickly to chapter 40, verse 9. Verse 11. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. Behold, everyone that is proud. Verse 11. Look on everyone that is proud. See it? And then he gets into Behemoth. Now in chapter 41, Leviathan. See it in verse number 15? His scales are his what?
Right.
What does Paul have on his eyes that have to be removed for him to... Scales. The scales are his what? Pride. That's the problem with the church in the last days. That's why God tells us to get eyes off. Wipe our eyes. We're proud. We become independent of God. That's why he's outside the church. We've filled our relationship with God with mechanisms and methods to serve Him. Keeping ourselves busy. He doesn't give a flip about anything we do. He just wants us to rejoice in Him, to revel in the revelation of who He is, like Mary. Amen? That's all He wants. We were made to be loved. And discovering that, to love in return. This is what he wants Job to see. He's right now. We're going to see next week the end of the Lord, because it doesn't look like he's talking to Job addressing the problem of faith, and that's all he's talking about. It's all faith. Why does God allow the righteous to suffer? And he's saying, Job, I'm purifying your faith through this. So now you see here. Canst thou draw a Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord? Which thou lettest down. You're looking at the picture almost like somebody's fishing. It's because it's aquatic. You get these Japanese, these pictures of these Japanese catching these 100-foot sea monsters. The Bible talks about sea monsters in Lamentations. But here's one is identified as Leviathan, or bore his jaw through with a thorn. A thorn. That's all it takes is one. God conquered the devil at the cross. His power of death was removed. Will he make many suffer? Now, this is what I want you to see and get this here. Talking about one was the chief of the ways of God. Here's the king. Will he make many supplications unto thee? It's prayers. Beseeching. Wants to make a compromise with God. Will he speak soft words unto thee? When somebody's more powerful than you, they don't have to speak soft words unto you. He has to speak soft words unto God. That's what he's here. He knows God is the authority. Will he make a covenant with thee? He's trying to make, saying, God, he's plea bargaining. He knows. He knows. Look in Revelation chapter 12. He's a defeated foe. His unbelief won't let him submit. Christians live their lives in unbelief, not knowing that the power of Satan has been conquered. Amen? He's not a roaring lion. He appears as a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. Revelation chapter number 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's why he's so angry. He knows. He doesn't want you to know. You can't know, and it alter your life in such a way that you'll be able to see the light in dark times, apart from faith. He blinds the eyes of those that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine unto you. Job chapter 41. So he said, will he make supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? See what he's saying? He's willing to be a slave for eternity. If he just doesn't get cast into a lake of fire, ain't gonna happen. That's what he's willing. Will thou take him for a servant forever? Wow. He's not afraid of dying. He just doesn't want to die. Amen. Wilt thou put... What's that?
That's Job.
That's not Job. That's Leviathan.
Oh.
That's the devil. He's telling Job, you see this great creature I made, Behemoth? Now look at Leviathan. Look how big and powerful he is. Can you get him to submit to you? I can. I'm going to force him. I'm going to force the God of forces to submit to me. Because I'm sovereign. Not him. That's what he's telling Job. Job's going to, his view of God is, it's not just going to be on this plane anymore. God's going to open his eyes to grace. And he's going to see who he really is and who God really is. And he's going to realize that the influence the devil has had on his life has been because of unbelief. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, victory that doesn't exist in your life is because of unbelief. Jesus Christ, there's no more God has to do than what he did at the cross. No more. So victory that you don't experience. I'm not talking about problems don't exist. I'm not talking about, you know, walking through the dark times and the afflictions of those problems don't exist. I'm talking about victory that exists in the midst of the fire. Amen? That God doesn't intend to burn us like he did with those Hebrew children. He was right there with them. Just like he is with you. You just don't see him. And you don't see him because of unbelief. But he says right here, you're seeing the circumstances. So he says here, wilt thou take him for a servant forever? That's amazing to me. What looks like the devil's winning is God showing you even more emphatically he's losing. It's already over. He doesn't have much time. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? One of the inferences that he's able to fly. We'll see in a few chapters later on, a few verses after too. Wilt thou play with him like he's a pet bird, just a pet in a cage? You will play with him like a bird? That's how God looks at him. See? We got everything reversed. Like I told you, dogs aren't in heaven, but if they were, you know, the biggest mansions here are smaller than the biggest, the smallest doghouse that would be in heaven. Amen? That's a doghouse over there, that mansion. He says, would I play with him like a bird? That's the biggest of all creatures. And God looks at him like in a cage, like we look at a parakeet in a cage. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Put him on a leash, take him for a walk. My wife took Joy Bells for a walk tonight. She's doing good, by the way. She lost a pound.
That's good.
That's real good for a dog that weighs 15 pounds. Now she weighs 14. She's getting there. It's tough with Friday night pizza. How do you not give your dog pizza on Friday night pizza? None of you would give your dog pizza. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird, or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Go take him for a walk. He's saying that's what the devil's. He's like a weaker than a pet. to God. Shall thy companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? As a, you know, a victory celebration, the merchandise you make of him. Canst thou, let's go a little further, a little faster. Canst, five more minutes. Canst thou, because I want to finish next week. Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? He's aquatic, as well as in the air. Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down? Even in our, when I talk boldly about the devil's defeat, it's not me, brother. It's God. God did it. I own it. Why? He gave it. To who? To me. But also to you. Wonderful thing to discover. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. There's no more to do. But anyways, behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down? In your own power, the devil would destroy us. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Imagine seeing a seven-headed dragon looking at you. Red. With fire coming out of his mouth. Able to hold the Jordan River in his mouth. That's a huge animal. Amen. He says, cast down even at the sight of him, you'd faint. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Let's go pick a fight with the devil. That's stupid. I don't advocate that. You got that person that's, you know, making fun of Bigfoot in the commercials. They got one of those pepperoni sticks. And they're making fun of Bigfoot, and Bigfoot just goes crazy. You know, just takes the pepperoni stick and throws them 100 yards down the road. Amen. Who then is able to stand? Who said, none is so first that dare stand, stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? See what he's saying? There's no compare. There's nothing to compare to God. We can liken certain things to him as only on an illustration basis. But who shall you liken me to? What can God? What's big enough that God can make that say that? Now that's about how big I am. Nothing. We can only compare how big that is to how big we are to say that's the gulf. That's what he showed. The gulf between God and man is far greater than we can understand. But we can by faith. That's what God's showing him. Because God didn't make this distance between us so that we can't know each other. Brother, it's a wonderful thing to sit down and talk to God and know he's right there. I do it all the time. I hope you do. Because you can. Amen. He says, none is so fear. Okay, verse 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. See what he's establishing here? I got control of this, Job. And he's going to show this influence of this being that you're that isn't sovereign is who you're yielding to, not to me. Because I got control of him. And when you yield to me, you'll realize I got control of you. And you'll realize that I'm the one that's going to do right, not him. Who hath prevailed? Verse 12, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Appears to be well built, attractive. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? God can. The Bible says he's going to, at some point in time, going to take him and lock him up. He said he's going to shut him up. I like that. It's not just a door closing. It's bridling his mouth. Why? Because he accuses the brethren for 1,000 years. God's going to shut him up. Or who can come to him with his double bridle? See that? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. Now you begin to look at some of the depictions on some of these rock star albums or some of these horror movies or some of these things that people adorn themselves with. The demonic flavor is coming from, without them knowing, it's coming from God's depiction of Satan. You know, even their teeth. You got that guy that files his teeth. But he says here, his teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride. Shut up together is with a close seal. They're tight. It's his pride that's not, he can't penetrate. That's what he's showing. This is Job. One is so near to another that no ear can come between them. See that? Holy Ghost isn't penetrating. He's going to drive this home to Job. This is a literal zoological animal that has a spiritual counterpart in Satan that has an influence in the life of people. They are joined one to another, they stick together, that they cannot be sundered. See, he's tight, it's tight. By his kneesing, that we say sneezing, a light doth shine. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning, kind of droopy. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. He breathes fire. There's animals that breathe. Even you got the little tiny bombardier beetle. They got that has chemicals in his body with an open cavity that, when they're joined together, it spits out his rear end, and it tries to frighten enemies that are trying to eat him. But you got the ears. You got it coming out his mouth. They've got fossils of animals all around the world. Fossils of animals. They got fossils with hollow cavities in their skull, not knowing what they're for. Well, here's a possibility. A chamber to mixing chemicals where fire can be emit. How can an animal this big, so on and so, how can an animal this big fly? You just think about it. You say, well, it doesn't make scientific sense. It doesn't seem to be aerodynamic until you think about a 747. Amen. I mean, come on, brother, 747 can fit, they say it can fly 3 football fields in a second. It can carry over 422,000 ping pong balls. It's got a tail height that's 6 stories high. I was wrong with this, 422,000 pounds of fuel. It can carry over 19 million ping pong balls. It's bigger than I thought. Amen. Over 970,000 pounds, and it can fly. So we can do that, but the devil can't fly. Come on, brother. Amen. 747. What about the 666? Amen. I think that'll fly. We're going to stop here. We'll finish up this chapter next week, and get into. We'll finish both next week. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out of his nostrils. Go with smoke. He's a smoker. Come on, brother. When I was a kid, why in the world do you want to smoke? Why do you want to smoke? I mean, people do. I realize there's all kinds, and you get addicted to it. But it's not rational. It doesn't make any sense. People want to smoke. It's cool to have smoke come out your nostrils. Not just to smoke. It's got to come out your nostrils. You got to inhale it. See? As a kid, my parents won't let me smoke. I'll blow smoke rings in the cold air. Amen? And just watch him. And it's like, out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. He's a smoker. Amen. But that's where you get the depiction of a dragon, where they breathe fire. They're red. They're huge. They're scaly. They're lizard-like reptilian, but they can also fly. We'll see that next week in the next few verses. I tried to tie a lot together. Hope you got something from it all. Amen. There's a purpose that God's bringing this out. Satan is just as interested in your faith as God is, except he's trying to get you not to believe. Amen. It's the opposite with God. Lord, bless your word. Please take the words that come out of my mouth. Somehow or another, I ask that your spirit would use them to encourage, to lift up. It's like you're not ever trying to belittle Job. You're trying to show him he's little so that he can be big in his faith in relationship with you. And I just ask anyone, everyone in here that would go through whatever trials and afflictions that you would have their path walked down would be in such a way that their eyes wouldn't focus on sin or their circumstance, but stay strong with their faith, locked into Jesus Christ. And that's where the victory is. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.